In John chapter 4, verse 4, we read these words, "And he had to pass through Samaria." And he had to pass through Samaria. You know, when it snows and you need the shop for bread and milk, and you go out before the storm and the store is really busy. Don't you hate that? You'd think these people had never seen a snowstorm before. The fact that they have to be out there right before the snowstorm. Or how about those times when you go to the mall at 8 p.m. on a Saturday and there are a lot of people there? Why in the world do people need the shop so late? Sometimes we go out places, we shop late, because we just want to get in and we want to get out and we don't want to deal with other people. Sometimes it might be because we're in a hurry. Maybe sometimes it's because we just want to go out in our pajamas, put a jacket over it, and just hope that no one we know will be there. For you, have you ever chosen to not go somewhere because you thought someone you knew might be there? There are moments in life when we don't want to be seen. We don't want to talk. We don't want to reveal ourselves. We don't want people to see us as we see ourselves, or as we really are. And it was about noon on a really hot, dry day in Samaria. And a woman came to the well to draw water. Every single day of her life, she came at this time, at noon, under the blistering sun, to fill her water jar. And she came at this time because it was a time when no one else would come. Other women filled their water jars too, but they came much earlier in the morning to avoid the sun. And they came together. In this culture, women didn't travel out in public by themselves. But this woman chose to come by herself at the worst possible time of day to do so. So we can safely assume that she is either an outcast that the other women don't associate with, or that she has decided she doesn't want to associate with others. But on this particular day, goes the figure that as she approaches the well, she sees a man sitting there. And she thinks to herself, "Oh, come on, really? I come out here at noon every day in the hot sun so I can avoid this kind of stuff. Why does he have to be here right now? Oh, and get a load of him. He's a Jew. And I'm a Samaritan. And beyond that, I'm a woman and he's a man. Men don't talk to women, and men really don't talk to women in public. And clearly, if he's a Jew in Samaria, he's some kind of transient. He may not really be up to any good. And there he is sitting at the well, right when I need to get my water. Why is he here? Why now? Well, I guess I'll go about my business and then I'll just get out of here. Certainly, he won't speak and we won't even have to really acknowledge each other." So she approaches the well, and she doesn't make eye contact, and she begins to draw water. And she thinks to herself, "The sooner I get this done, the better." But then the man speaks to her. The man says, "Give me a drink." And startled, she looks up quickly, and she responds rather defensively, just like she always does when people talk to her. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" And this isn't just surprise. that she's indicating here. There's probably some sarcasm here. Sure, we Samaritans are dirt beneath your feet until you need something out of us. And may I add, that's real classy talking to a single woman out alone at the well. John 4:4 says, and he had to pass through Samaria. So this man at the well responds calmly to her. He responds directly to her. But he responds in saying something that she could not have predicted at all. The man says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Okay, she thinks to herself, that's a strange response. So this guy's probably some sort of religious nut. Or maybe it's so hot that the heat's getting to him. But there's something about this. What is this about if I knew the gift of God? What's he getting at there? So she takes the bait. And this is what she says. Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. And the well is deep. That well is at least 100 feet deep. So how are you going to get water out of there? And where are you going to get living water? Now, are you trying to say that you're greater than our father Jacob? You know, maybe you've heard the stories of all the great stuff that Jacob did. Well, you know, Jacob gave us this well, and he even drank from it himself. Think about that one. We're drinking from the same well as Jacob did. And for that matter, so did Jacob's sons, and so did Jacob's livestock. There's some pretty rich history right here at this well. And much like Peter, during the transfiguration, she just starts talking. She just starts saying whatever comes to mind. Everything that she believed about her life already, her life up until this point, prevented her from seeing what was right in front of her. John 4:4, and he had to pass through Samaria. The man at the well replies again, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And so now she thinks to herself, okay, I still don't get where this guy's going with all this stuff, but it sounds good. It sounds like a gift. It sounds like I might be able to get a lot out of this. Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. So she's imagining something sort of like indoor plumbing. There's going to be no need to make the effort to get the water. But maybe, more importantly, there will no longer be a need for her to risk running into people in public. John 4:4, and he had to pass through Samaria. The man says to her, go call your husband and come here. And now she has a problem. Uh-oh, she thinks to herself. I always have to deal with this from the local people. But now this guy too? This guy doesn't even know me. And this is the topic he brings up? And her reply is, I have no husband. And the man looks right at her and says, you are right. For you have had 5 husbands. And the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. And in that moment, she's found out. What she had said was true, technically. But full disclosure was not her intent in that answer. She wanted to keep the conversation from going there. She wanted to keep that conversation from going to that place in her life that she wanted to keep hidden within herself, that place in her life that she wanted to hold on to and suffer through and struggle through on her own. Every single day, she didn't just carry a heavy water bottle to the well. She carried the heavy weight of shame. She carried a shame that was a public shame, and it was a shame that she did not want to face. It was so much easier to just come to the well when nobody else would and draw her water and leave. Now, it's been suggested, and maybe we've assumed in the past, that there was some kind of unfaithfulness on her part. And that may be true. The text doesn't really say. Could be that various husbands had left her for other reasons, like an inability to have children, or maybe even for her looks. Divorce was that easy at that time in that culture, that a man could divorce a woman for any reason. Regardless, whether it was her actions or it was someone else's actions that caused her to go through all these husbands, it brought her great shame. And now she was in a current relationship that wasn't even sanctioned in a religious way. Like Adam and Eve, she could no longer cover her shame. This man saw right through the facade. She was no longer a tough loner. She was no longer in control. Now she was just a woman in pain. A woman dragged down by her sinful nature. A woman who had been left behind by man after man after man. And she lived a life of quiet despair. She lived a life in which she avoided those that were probably talking about her. And she avoided those that she imagined were talking about her. And now, just when this man seemed like he was offering something amazing to her, she felt like it all disappeared. He knows my secrets. I didn't even have to tell him. He knows my secrets. And he's not going to give me this living water. He's going to see me just like everybody else sees me. And I'm on my own. So she did what she had always done. She straightened herself up. She put that mask of strength back on and looked for a way to wrap up the conversation. And she figured, hey, religious guy, I'm just going to point out our religious differences and he's going to be on his way. She says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that in Jerusalem is where people ought to worship. And she thought to herself, that should work. He's clearly a gifted guy. He saw right through me. But at the end of the day, he's a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't believe the same things. And that should be the end of it right there. John 4:4. And he had to pass through Samaria. And the man says to her, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Okay, she thinks to herself. Now he's gone down some rabbinical bunny trail, and honestly, he's talking about stuff that's just above my pay grade. And she says, I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. I'm not going to worry about this. You know what? When the Messiah comes, it'll be all sorted out. He'll tell us what it is that we were supposed to believe all along. And the man looks her right in the eye and says, I who speak to you am He. John 4:4. And he had to pass through Samaria. Why did Jesus have to pass through Samaria on his way from Judea to Galilee? It wasn't for convenience. And socially, it wasn't the acceptable thing for a good Jew to do. Why did he have to pass through Samaria? He had to pass through Samaria to save this one woman. This one woman who lived a life of quiet desperation. This woman who had been abandoned by everyone except for one guy who could get what he wanted without the trouble of marriage. Her entire life, she had gone through the motions. She always looked for the answer in her next husband. At some point, she thought, I'm going to get it right. One of these times, I'm going to get it right. And everything's going to be okay. But it never was. And it seems like she had gotten to the point of giving up in despair. She accepted, you know what? I guess this is what life is. This is it. This is all I'm ever going to do. I'm going to go to the well at noon every day when no one else is there. I'm going to be with this guy I'm shacked up with. This is all I'm ever going to get. I know this guy's just using me, but you know what? What does it really matter? It's never worked when I've done it the supposed right way. Jesus went through Samaria to save her. He crossed every boundary possible. He crossed geographic lines that were not to be crossed. He crossed religious lines that were not to be crossed. He crossed social lines that were not to be crossed. From the Nicene Creed, we hear these words, "One Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who came for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven." He crossed the boundary from heaven to earth to save this woman. Jesus came down from heaven for you and for your salvation. Jesus came down from heaven for you and for your salvation. There is no boundary that will stop Him. There is no sin too big. There is no pain in your life so great. There is no shame or guilt that you feel that is so deep. It wasn't this woman's baggage that kept her from salvation. It wasn't all this stuff that she had accumulated through life and carried around with her, that heavy weight on her shoulders. It was what she lacked. She lacked Jesus. Her baggage is never too much for Jesus. But it can be too much for us if it keeps us from Him. We remember that the rich young ruler was told that he lacked one thing. He lacked Jesus. He had plenty of other stuff. He had all the money he needed, but he lacked Jesus. His baggage kept him from Jesus. But Jesus is relentless. He is a relentless pursuer. He had to pass through Samaria to save her. The text tells us that he's baptizing lots of people and he needs to get to Galilee. And he takes days out of his schedule to go to this well to save this one woman. And Jesus went to the cross to save you. And Jesus pursues you every day of your life through His Word. So that not only will you come to faith in Him, but also so that your faith will grow in abundance, so that you will fully trust Him, so that you will fully rely on Him, and begin to leave the baggage behind, piece by piece. We leave sin behind, day by day. We leave pain behind, piece by piece. We leave grief behind, moment by moment. We leave guilt behind, piece by piece. Saint Peter tells us that there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So what happened to this woman? In that moment, she really sees the man at the well for who he is. She believes him. She is born of the Spirit and into the kingdom of God. Her new life has begun. She lives in a new reality of abundant life, not a life filled with falsehood. The text tells us that she drops her water jar and runs back to the town, suddenly talking to everyone that she was too ashamed to talk to before. And she says, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Do you really think this could be the Christ?" Now, this isn't exactly a four-step plan to salvation she's sharing there, but it's a witness so strong that the Greek says that she spoke the word. That's what the Greek says there. She testified. She knew that she had been changed, and she wanted to share it with others by inviting them to come see the man at the well themselves. She didn't look at these others with whom she could not previously have had a relationship and say to herself, "You know what? They're not worthy. They had no time for me before." She just invited them. And you can tell from her statement, theologically, she's still not entirely sure what she's dealing with. But she invited them anyway. "Come see the man at the well." She didn't give anyone a packaged answer. She didn't threaten them with eternal damnation. She didn't get into a discussion about the modes of baptism. She crossed barriers that had previously existed for her, just as Jesus had done for her. And not only did she cross him, she didn't create new barriers. She brought all the people that she came in contact with alongside of her. She brings them the word and invites them to come and see the man at the well. And John tells us that many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of her testimony. And many more believed because of his word. Some believed because of what she said. Some just followed her along to the well and they believed Jesus when they heard his word. They said to the woman, John says, "We know that this indeed is the Savior of the world." Now, our dog Gracie has a cool little trick that she does that we get great amusement from. And those of you who have dogs, you probably see the same thing. She has many, many toys. And when she gets really excited about her toys, she tries to figure out how to carry as many of them as she possibly can in her mouth at one time. She comes up with all kinds of tricks to figure out how to get 3 toys in her mouth, 4 toys in her mouth. There are toys hanging over her head, over her eyes, off her chin. There are toys all over the place, and she's running around with her toys. But you can see that look in her eye when she's got 4 toys hanging out of her mouth, and she sees one that she would prefer to have. The one that she really, really wants. And what happens to those 4 toys? Thunk, 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 thunk. They all fall out of her mouth onto the ground. When she finds something more valuable, she drops everything to pick up that one. Our hearts are heavy. We all have baggage. We all have pain. We all have guilt. We all have shame. We all have grief. Our hands are full of this baggage. But there is someone more valuable than all of that stuff. The man at the well, Jesus Christ, God Himself, will give you the water that leaps up, that springs up to eternal life. Open your hands and receive the gift, and open your mouths and invite others to come and see the Christ. Amen.